call the meeting order. Roll call, everybody's here. Any public comment, any items on the agenda? Here we go, move on to minutes. Bill, anything? Minutes are approved?
I move that we approve the minutes as stated, as shown.
Minutes are approved. Finance update.
The update will be on, the finance portion will just be on the budget.
Okay. Okay, E1?
E1, as you know, at the workshop and at one of the board meetings, we decided to move the committee meetings up to some of them to more frequency, the finance committee being one of them. And the bylaws for this committee need to be amended to correspond to the dates that we had talked about. And so in this particular instance, we're amending, the action is to approve, and this requires a vote, for it to occur every even numbered month on the first Wednesday at 3:30 p.m.
So the only change is Article 5?
Correct. Okay. We need a motion, a session.
Okay with you?
Make a motion?
Any public comment?
Nope. Okay.
I have just a small public comment.
Sure.
In the interest of transparency, I've talked to people about these meetings, and they say, oh, yeah, well, but it's too early. I'm working. I can't come at 10 o'clock. So I'd like to see the meetings in a more open time for people who are working.
Okay. Think about that. All right. We have a motion, second, that's approved.
Okay.
Zone analysis.
Zone analysis. So, as you know, we hired Harrison Associates to take a look at our zones and to analyze them and to provide a potential, you know, strategy options. And so they're here today to go over their initial report with some of those options. And I'm going to turn it over to Rick Clark. Of Harrison Associates.
Good morning, Rick. I've been well recalled. I will be talking properly during this, and I still have a couple days on the delay. So, thank you for that. You have a report in front of you. I'll walk you through the highlighting parts of that. On the table of contents, you'll see the yellow appendix to the zone maps. The zone maps will be created when we get to a part of the zone, which is where we're going to go with this. The existing zones may stay as they are, if they are, the map will reflect those existing zones. If you go a different way, the existing zones won't go away, the map will be different. So that's just, it will be in there when we get to the point of knowing which way it's going. So that's not a big deal for us, but I wanted to point that out as to why there aren't any maps in here if you want to do that. Basically, this report gives you two different options. There's a lot of information in here. But generally, the first option is to leave the existing zones as they are, have the county continue to assess them, and create what we would call an overlay district over the top of the CSD. So the existing revenue from the zones as they sit, as they are, would remain, but we would create a new district with new assessments to cover, not to cover, but to enhance the revenue that you get, to increase your services, and to provide rehab and maintenance for things that need to be done. That's the first option. I think in having had discussions with the CSD in the past, your initial thought was, let's see if we can divorce ourselves from the county and do this on our own. That is covered under option two. The county is, in order to do that, you're going to have some further discussions with the county themselves. The county owns two parks, I believe it's Slifer Park and Morgana Park. You'll need to talk about the disposition of those parks, who owns those, if the county And the county might also want to retain some portion of the improvements that they're doing now. Speaking more specifically about along Highway 4 and possibly up Mixon Road. So those discussions will need to take place between the CSB and the county. We're glad to be included in those and be part of those if you'd like us to be. But those are discussions and determinations that you will have to make between the two organizations. But basically, the option number two is that the existing districts or zones all go away. And we create a completely new district based on, rather than having zone 35 and zone 57, 9, 61, and 8, we will have one district with what we call three benefit zones. Those benefit zones are for street lighting, for landscaping, and for parks. One of the things you'll see in this report as you read through it is under the background, it gives you some of the recent court rulings based on Prop 218, some further clarification of how Prop 218 is supposed to work and how it should have worked. And in the town of Tiburon case, it talks about zones being charged for improvements that are within that whole area. It's kind of a cost zone, as you call it. And 218 basically, and specifically identified in this case, said that cost zones are not kosher with Proposition 218 because the assessments have to be assigned to properties based on the benefit they are receiving, not the cost for that area. That cost. And these zones, as they sit now, are cost zones. Now, they can remain that way under option one if we want to decide that that's we're going to leave those alone and do something different on top of them. Those zones can stay as is, so long as nothing has changed in those zones. If we try to modify them, increase the assessments, anything like that, then we would be triggering the need to comply completely with Proposition 18, which would say that zone set up that way. And the easiest one is say zone 35. Or is it 35 or 57? The residential one. Those are costly, so if we had changed, modified those in any way, we would have to comply with 218, and then it would have to be based on the benefit received by those properties, not the costs for the improvements of the right line. So, that's why we have these four cases, just a visual background as to why we have to do things the way we do. This is the cost we came up with, and you'll see in here as you go through looks at the first page that shows you where the dollars are all is page 10. And that is those costs there, we assigned them to the existing zones as you see on the left column. But those costs are the total cost for the annual maintenance, for the replacement cost for the landscaping. Same deal with the annual maintenance and replacement cost for the streetlight and the parks as well. We also added into those total costs some monies for operations and maintenance of the community center and a proposed capital facility that they were talking to. Mike and talked about the need for a shed or a maintenance bar, something like that. So we put some costs in there. Don't know how accurate those costs are. We based it on the 10,000 you basically just as a debt service if you got bonds or a loan or something, those dollars can change, but we just kind of put in an estimate of what we thought it might cost. That gave us the total amount for spreading the cost of all of the parcels. And those costs were developed based on our our experience and use from other clients that we use. So we've got the cost of statement costs and like that. And then we get more specific on the following pages. Budgets for each of the what we call the zones, if we're looking at option two. And for the street lighting, you see only option two here as the dollars. And the reason for that is that I went in and looked at the county's engineer's reports, and the county's engineer's reports haven't mentioned anything about street lighting. They do just lighting. So there wouldn't be any separation between we could do it this way for street lighting and that way for street lighting. There's only one way to do it if we're going to do anything different. So that was why we would just on the other two budgets, the option one and option two. But again, the street lighting maintenance costs were based on past experience and the costs we've used for other clients. You'll see here we include, I think that $4,500 for the CSD administration. That's 5% of the labor back. I don't remember how I did that. For your staff, your time in creating, you know, having board meetings and things like that. It includes county collection costs. I think 1% of the levy. In any case, it's county collection costs. And then we've added in the capital reserve collection so that you can, this particular instance, replace streetlights as they go up. They typically have a lifespan of 30 years or so. And it costs around $5,000 a pole to do it. So,
we've dealt with more.
Okay. And you know, you're going to need more than just because it's failing. You could have a knockdown from that or something like that. So, there are ones in there for that. And then the operating reserve, you'll see also. The operating reserve is 10% of the direct costs. The operating reserve for all of these is based on the 1972 Act. That Act allows you to have a 50% reserve to pay for the first 6 months of the fiscal year. This fiscal year starts in July. You put the taxes, you get the tax number, tax roll in August, tax roll in October-ish, and you don't get your money until the county gets ready, which is sometime in December. You probably not get any of that money until January. So that covers for the first 6 months of July and January. So that's the reason you've got operating reserves in there. That's particularly for the operating reserve and the capital reserve. And then we've got the total cost there and the general benefit contribution from the CSD. That amount is, I have it on my budget sheets, but I didn't put it in before. That amount there is the percentage that the CSD would be responsible for the general benefit of street lighting. Proposition 218 also requires that assessments are apportioned based on the special benefit that they receive. And all the improvements that we deal with, we have to, as assessment engineers, we have to identify the general benefit and special benefit for each of those improvements. We have to quantify that in one way or another, and we have to separate it because the general benefit cannot be assessed. So that's that percentage there. It's the general benefit percentage for street lighting in this case. And that's why it's there. And those monies from the CSD, they can't be assessed. So it has to come from the general fund or something.
We have no
general fund.
We have no general fund, so where would that money come from?
You have, well, you get gas funds, probably not.
No.
Road
we're not
funds?
A city. No, we're not a city yet.
How do you survive?
Pardon?
How do you survive?
That's our problem.
That's why we hired you, to ask you how do we survive.
Well, unfortunately, I know you do, as a CSD, get some of the property tax revenue. probably would have to come out of it before the board comes out. I have to identify what cannot be assessed, because that's unfortunate for street lighting. Each one of these benefits of this street lighting, landscaping, and parks have a percentage probably.
Okay, so if it was all one zone, we could probably do that. But if we're talking about individual zones and we do the overlay, Zone 8 is the only one that we get property tax from. So that's the only one that could pay for this. And so I'm trying to see, can that money, if it's an overlay, be cross-pollinated by taking money out of Zone 8 to do that? I know if we're all one zone, and we eliminate all the others, it's not an issue. But under the overlay, that may be an issue.
To my knowledge, monies that you receive from Prop 13, so is it? That money can be used in any way you see fit. Now, I don't know that can be spent outside of the area that you're collecting it from. I'll have to verify that.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
Because that would limit us.
If we did an overlay, you would still have the same general benefit issue. We have to account for that.
I know, but if it's overlaying and the zones stay in place.
Yeah.
In other words, we don't cross-pollinate zones.
Right.
Right? And so this general benefit is the general benefit of all the zones. So if you take some money out of one zone, Zone A, for the general benefit of all, you're cross-pollinating. You see, if we're all one zone, then it doesn't matter.
But in this instance, for option two, and I suppose it would be the same for option one, it is one district. It's benefit zone within that district. It's not a separate zone that has its own budget, even though we've got separate budgets for the bank program improvements.
But wouldn't you apportion that under the first scenario? Wouldn't you have to apportion that to each zone?
The existing zones that are out there?
Yeah, if you keep the existing zones that are out there, you do an overlay zone, and you're going to take tax money out of Zone 8 to pay for the general benefit of all zones, that's okay.
If we do option one, the existing zone stay as is, nothing changes for those zones at all. They stay as is. We would create another district over the top of that.
Okay.
And although we would still have three separate benefit zones, it's not two, three different geographical zones.
But that overlay district, whatever is collected on that overlay district could be used to pay anything in any of the zones within that district. This is where I'm getting confused between costs and benefits. If you could enlighten me a bit on the distinction there.
I look at the laws a lot of times, I roll my eyes and semantics.
Yeah.
But cost zones are basically, they're set up more as geographical areas. And the improvements that are within that geographical area are paid for by the parcels in that geographical area.
Right, okay.
Benefit zones don't have to be a specific geographical area. They don't even have to be contiguous. They could be, getting street lighting benefits up here, your street lighting benefits over there. You're all in the same street lighting benefits zone.
Right.
So that's my best way to describe the difference between the cost zone and the benefits zone. But I remember, I talked to Paris just a little bit, because of your point, about if we used option one. He did say, I recall that he said this, that the assessment amounts would have to remain in those areas. So it would make sense then that you shouldn't and probably couldn't use the Zone 8 property tax revenue to pay for the general benefit in those other areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was one of the things Dennis said, it's more complicated in one sense rather than doing the overlay because of that. You got to kind of almost leave it as is, even though there's another overlay district.
So the overlay district help me walk through this thing. If we were to proceed with an option one, have an overlay district that could pay for whatever. I guess whatever you can, under the law that we're using, the CFD, the 72 Act,
which is the EPA districts on that, the 72 Act. There's things we can and cannot assess in one of those laws.
But once you do that, what you're saying is then that the subsidiary zones within that overlay district, you can't change anything?
That's correct.
Okay, so that locks in what they do and how they're paid, or how money is collected to provide this.
Yeah, you leave them as they are.
Yeah, so you leave them as they are, you go through your 218 every year, and you establish the engineer's report that says it costs this amount to serve that area, and that's the assessment.
Yeah, I mean,
so nothing changes with
it. Yeah, absolutely nothing changes with it. Yeah.
So you've got this overlay district which can do that plus something else.
Yes.
Okay.
But the overlay is a separate assessment.
Correct.
That would apply to everybody. And however, what it takes to fund, but there's a piece of that pie that is the benefit contribution from CSD. Which means we're going to, for in the lighting, if I understand this, is you can assess all the way up to, you know, whatever we get for the assessment, but you have to back out $4,539, and that's got to be paid from some other source. So what source will pay that?
We don't have another source that I'm aware of at this point.
There's, as we're talking, there is another option to where you wouldn't have to identify that general benefit. And that is to create a CFD, Community Facilities District, as the name of the way. The reason we didn't give you that as one of the options is that sounds great, right? All right, we get rid of the general benefit. Because this is already developed area, to form a CFD, we have to go through the registrar of voters. You have to go through their processes, pay them for their services. And the threshold to get it approved is 2/3. It's much more costly to go through that process and much more difficult to get through it. But it will be. Because this community facilities district law does not require that we follow the general versus special benefit question of the proximity.
So you have more flexibility with the facilities district. What you've got to get through the threshold of a 2/3 vote, and that's a 2/3 vote of all the parcel owners or
registered voters.
Registered voters.
Yeah. That's really why we do that as an option. It's very difficult to do it, and much more costly.
Yeah.
It's with the chair if I can.
Yeah.
Under the second option, where essentially you dissolve all of the zones and you formulate one zone.
One district.
You still have the issue of a general benefit contribution. But in that one district, some area, we get tax dollars out of Zone 8. That can become our general fund to pay that contribution. And can you adjust, in other words, can you, so if we were to do that, can you, well, if it's, so if you do just one, does it have to be equal payments everywhere that the assessment applies to? In other words, could you lower, for example, an assessment in old, you know, now old Zone 8, if you will, because you, we would be taking the general benefit contribution and paying it out of the Zone 8 money as opposed to some of the other zones.
We can certainly account for the assessment amount and include that. You know, we can deduct it from the assessment amount from Zone 8 to account for that. You also mentioned, like you said, the Zone 8 money kind of becomes your general benefit, or excuse me, your general fund. It's possible, this is something I'd have to talk with maybe an attorney about, but it's possible that you could take some of that money and establish an actual general fund. You can take a portion of that aid, and then this is now a general fund for the CSC. You might be able to use it that way for everything. But again, that's, I'm not going to say you can do that. I don't know that that's the case, but it's a possibility.
What if you did, because Zone 8 is the only zone that pays us through tax dollars. What if instead of just wiping out all the zones, well, you wipe out all the zones and then you, or you leave Zone 8 and then everything else becomes?
Well, is it that, or are you under option 2? Are you, because you're creating this new district. Mm-hmm. Within that district, are there some district zones, if you will, where the assessment might be different in this geographical area than this geographical area?
Yes. In that instance, Gary, there already is. And we said specifically talking about Zone 61, consisting of all those parcels inside the gate. Mm-hmm. They've got their own interior lighting in order to reduce their EDUs. Mm-hmm. Their assessment amount was reduced.
Right.
Came up with the standard rate, but then they were reduced off of the rate.
So as you're doing a 218 calculation, you have to say, well, this area has lighting and this one doesn't. So
right.
The assessment's going to be adjusted appropriately for that
correct.
Different service level.
That's right.
Okay. But then within the master district, if you will, can you build in those administrative general costs that serve the entire County Discovery Bay?
Yeah. Okay. In fact, with this, that's, I guess that's technically with both options, we have CSD administration costs built into this.
Mm-hmm.
So, in essence, that would become a little bit of a general fund.
Right. So there's a little money as well. Yeah. So there's a couple pennies on whatever that assessment is.
Yeah, about 5% of the cost.
Yeah.
So, you know, just for landscaping,
sure.
That's not $30,000.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's an option too, where if you wouldn't, taking the money specifically from the Zone 8 losses wouldn't necessarily be such a big problem.
Yeah.
Because you've got this administration cost for the district.
And we write that off as we absorb that overhead, and then that is what pays for the general benefit.
Yeah. Obviously, I don't think you need that much money, but yes.
That might be another way to do it.
Say that again.
In other words, he's built in overhead.
Right.
Okay. We absorb the overhead. And we charge it to the general benefit contribution.
Right.
So our overhead that we absorb pays for the general benefit contribution.
We've got the overhead administration stuff. And we also have the option to use loans that are collected from the reserve funds, capital reserve funds, or the operating reserve fund. Not the best option, but at least that those loans are there to use to cover that cost immediately. notice for each existing area because their assessment amounts will change differently. Some of them would ask for. So we would draft a notice for that, have at least one or two public meetings here somehow to get the people the options and come ask questions or whatever it is. Try to get as good an education program as you can with property owners. Because you want as much response as possible, but especially for the ones that are going to move down. For the most part, the way it's set up right now, for option two, the parcels in zone 61, I think there are, I wrote it down somewhere, about 2,600 parcels or so, or 2,500, about 80% of those parcels are going to see a small decrease. So you would want them to vote. You want them to be engaged and say, yes, we will return that back because the favors us, right? So in this case, the ballots are tabulated based on the numbers returned, not on the ones sent out.
Right.
So it would be, you'd want to have all the people that are engaged in this and have them return their ballots. Anyway, that's the first step, public outreach campaign. And we would certainly assist with and work with you guys to create the notice for each of the zones, or the existing zones, and how we want to say what we want to say. We have ballots, that ballot templates that we use that are compliant with Proposition 218. They would be mailed out. You'd have to have, we do the public, we do the situation that outreach program. The board would have to hold at least two meetings, possibly three, but I think it's two. One to basically initiate the proceedings, say, here's the engineer's report, here's the dollars, and yes, we are approving this ballot to be made. Once that's done, we would mail out the ballots, and you have to wait 45 days from the time that ballot is mailed until you hold that second meeting, which is the public hearing. During that 45 days, those ballots are returned. They would need to remain counted. They cannot be counted until the public hearing is technically closed. So, collect all the ballots. They would hold the public hearing, ask for public comment, whatever it was, people would not make a complaint or say yay, whichever. And then the public hearing closes, and then we would start counting the ballots. We'd be sending out about 6,000 ballots. You typically get around 30 to 40% return. So maybe 2,000 to 3,000 tops would be returned. We probably need to do that the next day. The board meetings are not typically real long. We would likely have a barcode on the ballots when we send them out, so it's much easier and quicker for us to scan them and count them and tabulate them that way. But we would probably just stay here and count them the next day and make the announcement to say, okay, we're passed.
So it's a two-thirds of the...
No. That is, there has to be, in this case, 50% protest. So there needs to be more protesting than approving in order to be a protest. That's why they call it a protest ballot. There has to be more protest. Now, the dollars, it's not just the number of ballots that are returned. Those ballots are running on their assessment amount. So if the commercial center sending them, say we had 10 parcels that were dealing with total. The commercial center sending them one, he said no. And we got nine other people, all residents, returned theirs, and everyone said yes. The total of theirs was $900, and his was $1,000. It would fail. So
it's weighted on assessed valuation,
On the assessment
right.
Of the balance, correct. The costs for that are, we typically can get with the mailing itself. possible, which would be the terminal postage notices, ballots, all that good stuff. That would be about $9,000 roughly. And then for the process itself, putting the engineer's report together, attend the public hearing, count the ballots, all of that. I'm guessing we'd give you a solid proposal, but I'm guessing probably around $15,000. That dollar amount, whatever it ends up being, can be and should be included in the assessment that we're putting together in the budget numbers. So it won't be something that we need to come out of the CSB's non-existent general fund.
Because you have to pay for it.
So, again, if we put a bunch of engineers working, those costs would be included in the budget for that.
Okay. Assuming it passes.
That is a good catch.
Yeah. And if it doesn't pass, we're right back where we start.
Harris, the existing district will not go.
Just a little poorer.
Is that?
Just a little less money in our pocket.
Exactly. Yeah, because I'm sure Harris is accounting for will not be okay with that's okay, get in the best.
Do they both solve that question?
Well, the issue is, I want to say, like, you're not getting the service that you want from the county. You're not happy with the service you get from the county.
The money we're getting from the county.
Well, it's just money.
Because they're not providing the service.
That's right. That's right. So you don't get enough money to do the service the way you want.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. The idea is that if you leave the county as is, we create this overlay district.
Yes.
We would be enhancing the money you get.
Okay.
To continue to provide the same services.
But it's also twofold, boss. The other issue is the other zones are not paying their fair share.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So there's more to this to address that issue. But in both cases, option one and option two require vote.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And in either case, there's no guarantee that vote is going to be in the direction we
would like. Which makes that public outreach campaign very.
So there's a risk, and then the in either option that we pay, and a benefit of some sort if we get it.
Yes.
Yeah, but option one, just to re-clarify on that, if option one stayed the same, there's no adjustment that takes place in there, and under option one, for example, zone 61, their rate would actually come down if we apportioned everything somewhat fairly, correct? Mm-hmm. But under option one, it wouldn't, because you have to keep it that the same.
Yeah.
So they're not getting a benefit, and they're actually would be paying more than their fair share of everything.
You'd have uniformity, but you wouldn't have equity, perhaps.
Correct. So
we would look at that, because they're paying what they're paying us. That means $150 per parcel for a development parcel out there. But they would certainly not pay, if we did an overlay district, they would not pay nearly what the process here was on the pay. Simply because of the proximity to the park, they're back to get here, they have their own amenities inside, so we come up with a certain rate for the improvements, but they would have a reduced EDU factor for that. So they would continue to pay their $150 on the existing zone 61, and then probably pay a small amount on top of that for the new district.
Okay. So I think there's still a question of whether we have equity at the end or near improvement of equity.
Like I said, there's equity and then there's fairness.
Yes. So well, I'm going to mix the two together.
Yeah. Okay.
So we don't solve that.
We were trying to make it as equitable as possible.
I think
if we did an overlay district or go either way, we're trying to make it as equitable as possible for the improvements and the successful amounts of the jobs.
I mean, that's the whole point of the engineer's
report. It really is.
Just to make
have to be completely the lack of proposition to it.
And so, like, when were our zones created?
Prior to Prop 218.
80 something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're in on the grandfather clause to leave it places.
Yeah,
and then I'm hearing that I hear then that this overlay district concept would be a new assessment.
That's correct, yes.
To all the property owners here.
That would be the other thing.
And so that's a tax increase?
It would go on your tax bill, so yes, you would see it on the tax bill.
So it would be a special assessment tax.
That's correct.
That's lower than 1%.
Exactly.
And does that require a 2/3 vote to increase the tax? Why is that?
Because you said something and then changed it. You said there's a special assessment and then you added tax. And the difference is, and again, this is somebody that's caught up the wall. I shake my head too, believe me. Under Proposition 218, the special assessments for these types of improvements are assessments.
I got it. I know.
It's very strange. From a property owner standpoint, I get it.
It's a tax.
It's a tax. It's on my tax bill. I get it fully. But it's a semantics thing. How a law is assessments require 50% protest. A special tax requires
2/3 approval. So,
yeah.
So then will the in this process, you send out, you try to educate or
inform,
educate, but you're going to be slanting your, how you spin this thing.
I don't spin it.
Well, you talk about having to do this information, you know.
Well, I'm doing that because I'm an advocate for the CSD.
Okay, so as somebody who's not an advocate for the CSD, do they get a chance to do a rebuttal? Proposal to that you're going to mail out to these people saying this is the greatest thing since sliced butter because here's what it's going to do for you, and it's all going to be spun in favor of the CSD to accomplish what they're trying to do, or is there a chance for someone to say yeah, but
good question. Under Proposition 218 and under the 72 Act, which is District of Delaware, there's no requirement or even a suggestion that a rebuttal be allowed. Doesn't mean you can't do it. We pay the document.
You get to pay for it by adding it to the thing.
I understand it, but that's not how the law is working. The CFD option, I said, if you don't have the registered voters, that would then require a rebuttal piece to
the CFD.
The CFD.
Where you're trying to get rid of the CSD and change it.
It's not getting rid of the CSD. It's rather than a 72 Act, rather than a landscape and lighting district, that's a community facility district. Again, semantics and all that. Different laws. And the CFD law allows and requires two different sides to be presented. The special assessment of Prop 218 does not require it. But again, from a property owner standpoint, if you want to put something in that, you're certainly welcome to do that. But it couldn't be added to the budget. I'm sorry.
Is there any requirement that the information being sent out include not just positive comments, but I know that the CSD is supposed to be representing all of these people.
There's no requirement that they can.
That they can or they
cannot. Yeah, no requirement that they cannot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. So who approves the language of the information or the educational program? CSD.
It would start with us and we would work with the CRD staff.
The board. So does the board have to vote on the helpful to hear on what you're going to try and tell these people, or are they just have carte blanche, write anything they want, and send it out?
They have to at least at one point approve the notice and ballot being sent out. But as to what's in the notice,
close public comment. Next steps. got a lot of information here. So we have option one, option two. We have kind of a crazy option three if we wanted to go the CFD route and take that task on.
Can I make a suggestion?
Absolutely.
let the staff drill down a little more with the consultants and have us come back with some more refined information, and then we'll decide from there.
Okay.
I would like more time to digest it.
Oh, yeah, right. Definitely,
and reach into it this meeting is not enough time to.
Right. I kind of look at what the pros and cons of each one. Because maybe the option is we just thank you for your report if you want.
We all saw this today.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll bring it back. Your staff's going to do some work, bring it back to the committee.
Right.
And we'll take a look at these options again, maybe even option three, but try to look a little bit at what sort of the. What are the steps necessary? There's one that's a sheet in the back here that kind of walks through a little bit of it. You bring it back for our consideration.
And to document option three. So that it's part of it.
You want a copy of the CFD option?
We're going to have a discussion with Seth and Brent.
Okay.
Good.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very good.
I'll be in touch. I might have to take a visit down to your office or something.
There you go.
The bike ride going that way.
You better bike ride going that way.
I'll go with the bike for a while.
Okay. Moving on to item E3.
And Dina.
Okay. Perfect time. All right. So today I'm going to just, instead of going line by line, I'm going to give you some highlights, things that have changed, things that I've noticed. And then you can take these budgets home, review them. If you have any questions, give me a call, come on into the office, and then we can review those questions that you have. Okay? I put them in the order I'd like to review them, just from simplest to the most difficult. So we'll go from there. Okay? So this is the administration department, which is what we call it, but these are where all the county funds come in and go out of. Okay? So some of my notes here, we did make some changes to this department this year. If you notice under the budgets for landscape-related payroll and L&L vehicle reimbursement, those items are not going to be there in the future. There was an issue with our Cassell system and AR, and they made an update, which there was a problem with crossing funds. So they're going to be coming out of wastewater and back in. They're going to go back into wastewater. So that's how we're going to get a reimbursement. Otherwise, just here are going to be the landscape-related just maintenance reimbursements here. Okay, so you can see that it's definitely reduced. That's only $34,000. And the same budget plan for the administration expenditures. Okay. That $19,000 that you see in consulting, that's Harrison Associates. That's for the zone consultants. So we're charging them for it. And they pay it, so that's even better. All right. They did make some changes to our budget this year. You can see that on the second page. So these are the budgets that they give us. So out of the money that they collect for the assessments of the zones, this is what we receive for each of these zones to do the maintenance, pay our people, and utilize our vehicles and equipment there. In zone 35, they increased us just slightly. The town of Discovery payroll, a little bit. So we were getting like $8,100, now we're getting $90. For the 57, we've increased as well, slightly, but for zone 61, it remained the same. So they did increase our budget just slightly, and then reduced it in some other areas and increased it in some other areas. So. It's fairly simple. That's an in and out wash budget. There's nothing much that happens there. All right. So then next is zone 9. Is that what you have in front of you? I just want to make sure I have them all in the right order.
I have zone 9.
Okay. So my first highlight note is in the revenue portion. Is the assessed income. At the birth.
Which sheet? I'm sorry, which sheet again?
Zone 9. It's.
Where does it say zone
9? It should say L 9 at the corner. Sorry, yeah.
Got it. Where is
it? It should all be in order, but it should say under account number, L and L 9.
Because I have two zones.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So we look like throughout this budget we're possibly going to increase to $143,000 of revenue, but we don't complete the engineer's report until May, so the end of May. So I'll be working with Herwood, so I usually work with Herwood for that, and we'll look at the entire budget, we'll look at what we legally can increase the assessment, and the projects that we're going to be doing in this zone. So the only few things that we're really looking to increase are maintenance, personal protective equipment, and a little bit for some salary and wages. One item that we are reducing, if you look at under the revenue code 5179 miscellaneous, I always put some money in there, but I don't anticipate receiving any miscellaneous revenue, so I just reduced it to $450 just in case, but that's not something that we typically receive in there. Okay. So if we want to look at Zone 9's capital plan, that's something that we can discuss. So those are the fold-out sheets. There are some planned capital improvements. We were supposed to put in a new play structure this fiscal year. Brian has asked to delay that into next fiscal year because he wants to not only put in a new play structure, but he wants to put new ground cover. And the ground cover is going to be that rubberized ground cover instead of the typical bark. Okay. So he said it was typically going to be about $150,000 for that, and I added a 15% contingency into that. We also have budgeted this fiscal year a wood chipper. That's still under review. We have not decided to pull the trigger and purchase that. Bernie came up with some other ideas instead of a wood chipper since they are very dangerous. They have something called a firebox. So we're looking at some different options of how to maybe reduce our waste costs going out of here and kind of keep it internally and either use the wood chipper to create mulch and use that in the landscape zones if we can, or get a firebox and just dispose of it ourselves. So we're looking at some options, and those will come at a later date if we choose to do any of those. Okay. And of course, I always try to put in a little bit of infrastructure replacement. So a vehicle replacement fund will continue at $5,000 to keep putting that in. And we have the splash pad over in Zone 9. And so we've put in $15,000, or try to put in $15,000 a year to put towards the replacement of that someday. Alright, so that is Zone 9. I'll leave that with you to take a look at home, and any questions,
sure.
Please refer to me.
Sure. Well, why don't you let me get through a report, then we'll come back to questions.
Well, it's not so much a question as you guys know what Zone 8, and Zone 7, and Zone 9 is. If you're talking in a terminology that I don't understand, then I'm requesting that there be a little more explanation of what a Zone 8 is and where.
Sure. Zone 9 is Ravenswood. Right? Is it Ravenswood?
Yes.
It's Ravenswood. Yes, right over there. So Ravenswood is you take head towards down Newport, you take a right. Okay. And so that whole park area there and the landscape around that. Okay, sorry about that. All right. If you look under the account number, make sure you have L and L 8. That's the next item I'd like to take a look at. Should be the next bucket.
That's a 9.
Yeah.
Well,
no,
this
no,
is a 9.
No,
it's got a pool.
No.
So.
say LLA.
Is it gonna have a bucket of things?
Yeah.
Okay.
So eight is?
Okay, so eight is this area. So everything Cornell Park, Community Center, out through the front entrance way, down Clipper Drive. Okay, it's the main old Discovery Bay. Okay, some of my highlighted notes for revenue. For the first one is, if you look at account code under revenue 5106, the current secured property tax, this is an estimate right now. The Department of Finance puts out their report in May, and that's where I base my calculation off of, and that's how we'll know what revenue is. So I just put an estimate in there. Once I get the report off their website, I will put the calculation, and I will adjust that accordingly.
Conservative estimate.
Mm-hmm. It's a conservative estimate. Very. Okay. The next item in revenue I'd like to look at are 5149, Community Center Program Fees. We increased this per the new pool amount. So this budget is going to be showing everything with the new pool, if you choose to build a new pool. So I put in the maximum, and then we'll reduce it depending on decisions later on. Okay. And what I utilized was max report, and we adjusted those budget numbers accordingly. Okay. Number three, third item, is still under revenue, 5243 under other. You'll see a deposit there, and that was the deposit of the Hoffman funds. Okay. The fourth item is the swim team, 6690, and that has been increase based on if the decision is made for the new pool and the estimates that Matt gave for the team membership increases. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, so let's move on then to O&M, please. Point out some of my highlights there. So O&M includes the Lighting and Landscape District and Community Center. Okay. Some of the notes I'd like to talk about in here is that I created a new account code, and that a new account code is called Training, Conferences, and Travel. And that is the second one down, 7180. And I've done this across all the zones. I've combined travel, training, meeting, education, BOD training and meetings. We had a whole bunch of different categories and different buckets, so I created one bucket. You'll see that all the way through all the zones, I made it uniform. So I combined them together. Makes it simple, one giant bucket for everything that you need for all the individuals, okay? Vehicle equipment and fuel, which is 7392 and 7393, I've increased those budgets by $1,000 a piece. We've been going over on those budgets a little bit, so I just increased them. Let's just keep it simple there. Okay. One of the things I did increase as well, as we move on down the page, are all the salary and salary and wages, sorry, 8,000. So it should be on the second page. Is it second page?
Okay.
Those, I increased that according to max plan.
What's the difference between 7,000 and 8,000?
Okay, so 7,000 is all zone 8 lighting and landscaping.
Okay.
The 8,000 are the community center account codes. So it is all one district, but they each have their own account codes for their own budget pieces. Okay. So again, for the 8,000 salary and wages, we'll include all of Matt's proposed increases if the pool is built.
Okay.
some other highlights then are insurance 8451 and 8453 are insurance, liability, and property, again, across all the zones. I've combined them to just the insurance. So, okay, we get one bill instead of splitting it out. I just put it all there. So that'll be, I'll call it insurance, liability, and property. So I'm thinking about changing that. Personal protective equipment, which is 8469. We're increasing that $100. Safety and equipment supplies, same thing. It's due for the, you know, if we do increase staff at the community center, we need to provide them with the safety equipment and supplies, so we'll be increasing them. Now, electrical costs, 8481, that is a little bit of a tricky one across the board. I know electrical costs are going to be increasing. So for water, wastewater, and for the community center, I've increased electrical costs. Again, go ahead.
Has PG&E given you any indication of what the rates are going to be based on?
They have not yet, not for me yet. No. Again, so you're welcome to take this home, look at it, and I'll answer any questions you have. Okay. All right, so we go through their capital plan. It is the full audit. So I had a budget meeting with staff last week. Brian doesn't have any capital improvement items for Zone 8. He's waiting. So we're just going to focus on then community center and what's happening with the pool. So I've just put in the pool refurbishment. The decision is still to be determined, and I put it in with the $260,000 for this time. Okay. The tennis courts, we do have to do some refurbishment on the tennis courts, and so we put in $70,000 in the 2021 fiscal year. So Max identified some of the issues with the tennis courts, and he wants to take a look at those. Okay.
Can we discuss the median islands?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to need to see a P on that. That needs to be added.
Yes. Well, so a lot of comments.
Kind of an issue, the island is on Discovery Bay Rural Farm.
Okay.
We can't water the lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
yeah.
did discuss
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
We discussed it. So, all right. Again, with the wood chipper, like I've discussed with Zone 9, we're still depending on those. I've tried to put in some infrastructure replacement, a vehicle replacement fund, and a light pole replacement fund because I believe we own 12? Is it 8 to 12 light poles in this zone? Is it 8 to 12? So we do have to replace light poles. So we have to have, Sue knows the exact number. I can get that for you.
Okay. So the light poles, we decided a couple of years ago that we are responsible for the light poles, not the wires inside the light pole, right?
Yes,
yes.
Or the actual pole.
Yes.
The pole
yes.
itself.
And I know we did an assessment a couple of years ago. I know it may have been a quick assessment,
mm-hmm.
but
they did.
Do we know how many light poles are suspect? Is that how we came up with this number?
You know, we're hoping you do, yeah. So I know Jeffrey has done his assessment. We've reviewed it a few times, and I think this was an arbitrary number just to put in to start saving money in case.
We did a count, didn't we?
They did a count.
But whether they're in good condition or bad condition,
that's right, we don't know for sure.
Okay, so
we did a count and we looked at the ones that were buried and suspected there was a
potential.
Well, that's the one that was.
Okay, I'll ask for his report.
And I think we also started insuring.
Yeah.
We did. We did start to insure.
Yeah.
And that's what I have for Zone 8.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Do we have wastewater in front of you?
We have water.
Water.
Water, okay.
Which one do you want to go
on? I can take water, that's fine.
Water, okay.
Start at one end of the pipe and then we'll
move. Yeah, exactly. All right, so these take a little bit more time than the landscape zones, but some of my notes for the water revenue. The 5102 SEC collection account charge. The account charge, I did a conservative 8% increase year over year for 1920 and 2021 rate. Even though the rate study suggests a 12%, I just like to be conservative just in case. You never know, anything can happen. So that's what I did there. For reimbursement, it's 5177. I removed that completely. I don't expect any non-associated reimbursements to come in, so I just removed that. Number three, miscellaneous water service fees. That is account code 5179. Those are our fees we get for tampering, late fees, shutoff fees, restoral fees. So I just wanted to let you know that's what those are. So it's a very, it's usually within that range of anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000 we get. Okay. Four other, those are, those are some items we got. We got a recycling check, a rebate loss prevention check. So those are just kind of miscellaneous things that we received. And water charges. Again,
not mine.
I got it silent as soon as it got. It's pretty quiet. Wow. Excuse me.
Just like I did with the SEC collections account charge, I kept it very conservative, and we did an 8% increase expectation on revenue because of the new water meters. I don't know who's going to conserve more. Even though that was factored in with the 12% increase in the rate study, I just want to be ultra-conservative. So I just want to get through the summer, see how people are going to be utilizing their water, and then as we have the meters in for a little longer period of time, we can be a little bit more. Does that make sense? Does that seem okay? Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. So that's what I have for revenue. For capacity connection fees, I kept it very conservative as well. We only have 44 lots left to build, but then again, I don't know when they're going to be building on them. So I left it at 10,000, 20, 5, and 5. Okay. And those monies, they go right into the ECC bank account for construction. We can only use those for specific items. Right. We'll move on to the O&M. Okay. The first item I have is 7180. It's the training, conferences, and travel. And you can see below them are the travel and meeting, BOD, travel, training, education, training, meeting, education. We're combining that into one account. So all those fees are going to be just on $1 line. The second item I'd like to discuss, we increased consulting services, and that is item number 7271. And the main reasons for this are Woodruff and Scalmanini, we're going to be building row 8. We're going to be discussing a rate study that we need to look at, our rate study, and start working on that. And recruiting. If you look down near the bottom of the page, general repairs, 7406. I reduced that. About 50,000. Oh, is it not the same? Sorry, next page. I reduced that about $50,000. You can see our trend is dropping. I think that is attributed
which,
to.
Which one are you?
Sorry, 7406 general repairs.
Okay.
We originally budgeted $350,000 for this fiscal year. So far, we've spent about $200,000. I think that's attributed to the meter project.
Yeah.
So we did a lot of infrastructure repairs, so that number should keep going down. So I reduced it $50,000 to do $300,000 next year. So crossing my fingers, that works. But it looks like it's been a decline in general repairs. Okay. That is a good thing. The number fourth thing I'd like to discuss are office supplies, 7425. I had always tried to keep that number low because a long time ago we had board members that just did not want to see that number, no matter if we went over or not. I just put in what I think we're going to spend. These are just things that are attributed to, we can't, there's paper, it's ink, it's pencils, it's pens, it's the things we need to run the business.
Well, we see always go over, so it's good.
Yeah, so I just kind of looked at it this year and like, that's it. I'm just putting it where it really should be. let's see, the fifth item, okay, is permits and fees. That's 7466. I've increased that quite a bit just because we're going to be doing so much construction. We're going to be building that well. I don't know what those costs are going to be. You know, Rudolph can give their best guess, but I don't want to be surprised, so I've increased that quite a bit.
Just up a couple, 7451.
7451.
Big jump.
Okay, so that's because I've put them together. So that new insurance liability and property, I've increased it $50,000 because we're going to be doing the new well. We're going to have some new items in there. And I combined the insurance property and the liability together, so you're not used to seeing that also.
Yeah.
So, okay, so I might over budget a little bit, but I'm trying to be safe there.
You know, on the permits.
Yes.
Couldn't those fees also just be put into
the
capital project cost rather than selling that separately? And that way we can see what the whole project costs us.
Yeah.
Some of those fees are pretty substantial.
They are. And so typically they are included in the project cost, and then usually account my auditors like me to put it, it's an operational item.
Okay.
So it's not an asset, really.
Right.
So we do put it there so you can see the entire project cost, and then we just keep that on them.
Okay.
All right, let's see. So I've increased PPE. It is item number 7469, and that's attributed to some new staff members coming on. They have to have work boots, they have to have hard hats, they have to have things that they need. So, all right. And then here's the electrical costs.
Yeah.
So I've worked with Gregory a little bit on this, and we kind of guesstimated what we thought we should increase it to. And so we've increased it, do I have 425,000 there? Did
mm-hmm.
I change it? Okay. Because I had it a little bit too high, and they've reduced it to about $425,000. And then the next year after that, we've increased it just again a little bit more to 435. So.
We should probably watch that in the next couple months, depending on what PG&E's information that they get from the utilities.
Yes, I know. So I'm a little nervous there, but I will. I'll keep an eye on that. And other than that, that's what I have for water, for revenue, and O&M, and we can move into capital improvement projects. So that will be the pullout. All right. So I worked with Justin on this, and so you can kind of read on straight down. We have the new well, which is up here, up at the top. Then you have upgrades, maintenance for existing water supplies and facilities. Water distribution system and pipeline replacements. Everything in the bright yellow are brand new. Okay? So we are possibly going to repair, replace, or abandon the underwater crossing at Laguna. He's estimating that in 1920 year and about $400,000. We have a pipeline on Edgeview, St. Andrews, and Clubhouse that needs work and looking at. So that's about $300,000, again, in the 1920 fiscal year. The water meter cross-connection survey plan is something that we need to work on. We have it currently in this fiscal year. I think it's going to kind of overlap and branch over, but we're doing a lot of training in that area. And we were thinking it was going to be about $400,000, and Justin thinks $40,000 is what it's going to take to. Oh, yes.
Yeah, just one quick. I don't think it's a water meter cross connection control plan. It's just a water cross connection.
Oh, okay. All right, I'll remove that the water meter. Okay. And then we had a long meeting with Justin where we discussed a water master and asset management plan. And so along with doing a water master plan, we think we're going to assess all of our piping and kind of create a plan for those replacements of those pipes in some of the other older areas of town where we could possibly have some degrading pipe that
we need. We have no program on file for. Schedule maintenance, and so that's what we want to have it professionally and then assess and then do it based on priority and need.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool so far. We have some great maps, and he's got all the pipes underneath, what size they are. They're all color coded, so we spent a good half a day just going through a lot of this stuff. And so we think that this going into the future is a good thing for us to have.
Well, and you'd have to look at it as a cost savings because we're spending probably $500,000 a year on maintenance, structure, leaks.
Mm-hmm.
If we can reduce that, that doesn't pay for it, but it helps.
No, but if we can do it on our time and not an emergency time when we need it, that's a better way to manage our finances and our assets. All right. All right. That's all I have for water. So yeah, please take a look at it.
And now.
Yeah. All right. Now, wastewater. Now, there are some capital items. Before I move on to wastewater, there are some capital items you'll see on the bottom of your capital list that are for water and wastewater to share. Those items I do have broken out, and they'll be on in this little fancy book you'll see it. But I just put a placeholder for now. They're going to be building rehabilitation. We're going to be fixing the office where Virgil's at, fixing that up and kind of getting that neatened up and cleaned up. We need to purchase another vehicle and then district security. So that's something that I'm working on with Bernie as well. We're doing that in three phases, and so we'll bring those back to you when they're on board. Okay. All right. Wastewater, the most expensive item we have. All right, we'll go through the revenue portion first. Item number one is the SEC collections and wastewater. Our rate study calls for a 4% increase next year. I did put that there. That's guaranteed from the tax roll. So I just put that there. So you'll see that. If you look at number two, it's miscellaneous 5179. That was put into a miscellaneous category. I'm probably going to journal it into another. I don't like having all these different miscellaneous categories. They were there from the beginning of time. But what that is, that $8,000, is a reimbursement for energy refund from CalPOP. So we received some money from that. Okay. Number three are the sewer charges. This was a 4% increase as well. This right here are the commercial sewer charges. So those are all the commercial funds we have in town. Okay, they don't have anything on a tax roll, so they get it with their water bill. It that way. Okay. Item number four and five are the last two items in capital. Those are the reimbursable items. So what we discussed on the administration side, it's number 6086 and 6087. They're the accounts receivable, vehicle reimbursements from the county, and payroll reimbursements from the county since we're paying them out of wastewater. That's all I have for revenue. So we can move on to the O&M portion. All right. First item I have for highlight is 7180, training, conferences, and travel. Again, I'm combining all those items into one category. The second item is 7277, Veolia large replacement. The $38,000 budget was given to me from Bernie. We worked on that together. We're overshooting that one. So I talked to him a little bit this year and some of the things that he has spent for replacing next year, and we budgeted $100,000 for that category.
So Bernie gave you that $38,000?
Yeah, yeah. So what we thought we were going to possibly be doing within this next fiscal year, yeah. So obviously, it didn't work. Okay. I've increased legal. So we had originally $73,000, but we've increased it to $106,000. There's some planned things in there that we need to allot for. Let's see, number five. Again, on the wastewater side, the office supplies. Again, I've increased that. We've always seemed to
coding.
Sorry, yes. 7425 office supplies. We budgeted $6,000. Again, we're almost at that $6,000. So I've increased that to the 10. Insurance liability, insurance property, 7451, 7453. Again, I'm going to combine those into the one. And increase that amount due to new facilities, denitrification, and some other things that I'll discuss on the capital side. Another highlight I'd like, the last one, is 7535 under credit memo. This year we had a builder in town that wanted his money back. He was not going to build on this lot. So we decided to do that. But what we also did to make sure he doesn't build on that lot is we contacted the county and let them know that he's no longer approved. And we have notes in our system. So we have all these red highlight notes, do not inspect, has not paid or refunded. So that we ensure that he's not gonna get his refund and then build on that lot under our noses. So
it'll be stocking fee on this.
We did an admin fee. Yes, we did.
But then a lot of agencies, there's no money back pay it, because it's a value that proceeds with the property.
Yeah, and we have never done that before, but this was a circumstance, we discussed it, but we did take a piece for our administration.
And we made him sign a document that said that he's going to pay whatever the rate is in the future. It applies to anybody later on to pay the new rate.
Yes. Okay. All right, that's all I have for revenue and O&M to highlight, so we can pull up the pullout and look at our capital improvement project. Again, with this sheet, everything in bright yellow is something new. So let's start with the lift stations. The lift stations, we had quite a bit more budgeted there. Bernie, I think we had $100,000 where I have the 50 now, and then 150 where I have the 70. Bernie is actually doing that project in-house. They have been rebuilding them, and it's costing them about $50,000 a panel to do. I've seen them. I don't know if you've been down there. They're pretty cool. They're pretty neat. Next year, we just increased it a little bit more. They're going to be, these lift stations, I guess, are more intricate. They're difficult. I think it's just the way that they're originally built, so we put a little more money into do those. But he is going to be doing those as well. So it definitely saved the district quite a bit of money that he's able to do that in-house. Okay, so under clarifier rehabilitation, clarifier number 4 was identified that it needs repair, and that repair looks like it's going to be about $10,000. The wastewater treatment plant 1 refurbishing, that has all been, those were kind of all spread out, but the decision has not been made yet if we're going to keep one or we're going to rehab it. So we've honed in on the numbers. If we do it, It's going to be done with denitrification, so it'll be done in the 2021 year.
Okay.
So we've left it in there, but until pending decisions. So. Okay.
And that should be July, August?
Right. So, Gregory said we should have our plan. I did ask that, and he is now saying August, September.
Oh.
So, yeah. Which makes it difficult to build a budget, but this is a moving capital budget. I guess additional capital improvements, the step screen headworks. It's $1 million project. So that's been added in.
I'm sure we'll be hearing from the committee.
You will be. You will be. okay, and now down to denitrification. If I'm here. Oh, so let's just go to filtration project, plant two paving. There are some bond funds left from the filtration project. They still have to do some paving over there, so we're going to spend all of those funds. I told them I need it done by December, so I still have a little time after that, but they have to have it done by December. So
well,
that's
before May, let's get it done.
Yes. now denitrification. While we do denitrification, it looks like our UV disinfection needs a little bit of an upgrade. So we put in $500,000 to do that. I think we did discuss that at the last water wastewater meeting. Also, we discussed the water wastewater meeting.
So the $500,000, that's all what we anticipate spending this year?
That's what we anticipate
this year.
Spending, no. No, 2021 year. Is the UV bank, I think it needs some upgrades. Also, what we discussed in the water wastewater meeting was this possible methanol plant. So we put in $1 million for that, and we would look at that a year, I believe it's a year after the denitrification plant is built and operating. Other than that, that's what we have. That concludes the highlights of budgeting.
Very quick for all the details.
Yeah. Again, you know, if you want some finite details, please look at it. Let me know. I can answer your questions. And then when we have our board workshop, it'll be in this one.
Anything else on the agenda?
I do have a question on the zoning. The 8,000 section of expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Can you identify which ones of those are increased due to the new pool?
Yes, I can. I might not have that in my notes. Can I send that to you?
Please.
Is that all right? Okay. I'll do that when I get back to the office.
I think I have another page here. One of the salaries.
Mm-hmm. So we are hiring on a new project manager, and Virgil is leaving, and then we're also hiring a new assistant GM, and we're promoting another person with him as well,
so
to water wastewater manager.
With Virgil leaving, that